Show me the money.
This is the MoneyWeb Be a Better Investor podcast, picking the brains of professional investors on their investment strategies, successes, and mistakes. Your host, Rake Fanica.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Be a Better Investor podcast. My name is Rake van Niekerk, and in this podcast series, I speak to leading professional investors and prominent business leaders about their investment journeys. We look at their first investments and how their investment strategies have changed over the years. We also peek into their personal portfolios to see whether they practice what they preach. And the idea is to find a few golden nuggets of wisdom to help young amateur retail investors to become better investors. My guest today is Kondi Nkosi. He is the country head of Schroders in South Africa. Now, Schroders is a large global asset and wealth manager. Kondi has been with Schroders for 6 years, and he previously had stints at Ashburton, Momentum, Liberty, and Alexander Forbes. Kondi, thank you so much for your time today. Just first of all, how big is Schroders in South Africa?
Rick, a really, really pleasure for me to be with you, and thank you for allowing me to spend this time with you. So Schroders in South Africa, we manage roughly $1.2 billion for South African. In fact, I would probably say Southern African investors across both institutional and the retail landscape. When I say Southern Africa, it's principally South Africa, but we've also got some clients in Botswana and in Namibia. We've been in South Africa since about 2015 permanently. So really not all that long, but we've managed to grow a, let's say, a decent-sized business in that time.
Yeah, short period of time to get around or just over 20 billion rand in assets. But let's talk about you. Just tell us a bit about yourself. Where did you grow up and what career did you dream of when you were young?
It's a great question. It's a bit of a long story, but I will try to keep it as succinct as possible. So I was born in Malawi, and I was there for the first part of my youth. I was there until I was about 11 or 12 years old. My parents made the decision to emigrate from Malawi in the 80s, and we moved to Botswana. In fact, my father had an option of either going to Scotland or Botswana, but my mother put in the veto and said, there's no way we're going to Scotland, so Botswana it was. And so I spent my formative years in Botswana. In fact, I then started going to high school at the time, Rick, you'll remember this, in a country called Boputswana, in Mafikeng at the International School of Boputswana at the time. So I spent my formative years between Botswana and Boputswana, which then obviously became part of South Africa post-94. Following that, I then went down to UCT where I did my university. So my youth was spent really between Malawi, Botswana, Boputswana, and Cape Town.
And what did you dream of when you were young? You know, what career did you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, so I mean, I remember this quite vividly. I must have seen a movie. I can't recall what the name of the movie was, but I do believe that Michael Douglas was the principal character in the movie. And I believe he was an investment banker. So that just sounded really, really interesting to me. And I latched onto that. And investment banking was really for a long period of time what I wanted to do. But as I, you know, became more and more exposed to kind of the world, so to speak, asset management kind of over time just took over. And that's, I suppose, how I ended up here.
I've Googled it. The movie was The Game in 1997. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure to go and look for it. But when were you first exposed to actual investments? Where you, or let me put it differently, when did you make your very first investment?
Oh, I mean, maybe let me answer both. The exposure and then when the first investment was made. So the exposure, oddly enough, was through school. When I was in high school in Boputswana, we had a subject called business studies where, you know, they taught us about the fundamentals of business, you know, operations and strategy and so on. And then that kind of opened up the gate to, hang on, there's another way in which you can participate in sort of this value creation process that businesses go through without necessarily being the guy who founds the business and kind of does the operations. You can kind of be an equity investor. So that kind of tweaked the interest there. In terms of the actual first investment I made, you know, it was sort of through fund investments. Quite honestly, I'm not necessarily directly into shares. So it was almost indirect in my initial foray into investing. And this would have been sort of early 2000s, you know, something along those lines. I do remember that one of the first shares that I did buy on my own was, I think it was CarTrack, if memory serves. I believe it's no longer listed on the JSE. I think the delisting happened something in 2020, 2021. But, you know, CarTrack was a very interesting business at the time, right? I mean, it's something that I know and I understand. And the story seemed to make sense to me. If your car gets stolen, there's a little device that tell you where the car has gone. And a lot of people I know don't want their car stolen. And if they are, they would like them back. So there's motivation to get a product like that. And so that was one of my first direct investments. And I think I did relatively well out of that one, quite honestly.
Yeah, I remember the company quite well. And it was a growing industry at the time. You're in the asset management industry, but you more on the management side. Have you ever managed portfolios, individual portfolios?
No, so actually, Rafe, I've not managed portfolios before. So I have been in the asset management industry for some time. But as you're well aware, there's a bit of a value chain within an asset management firm. So yes, the portfolio managers and the analysts, but there's also, you know, guys like myself more on the business side where, you know, you're either part of, you know, distribution or marketing or running an office. That's more where I've been. I've never really managed money nor done any stock analyses as an analyst of sorts.
But you're still a business professional, and I'm sure you understand the principles of investing. So let's talk about that. You know, what is your approach to investments? And I'm talking here in your personal capacity, not as the official strategy of Schroders.
Indeed, Vic. So I have a multi-pronged approach to this, really, in terms of my approach to investments. I've already alluded to the fact that I'm a believer in investing in funds for the majority of my investable assets, quite honestly. You know, I follow sort of a style-based approach with regards to my fund investments in that, you know, I will look at different styles that asset managers follow in running the money. And I have a fundamental belief in, you know, diversifying my investments. In other words, not all of my investments must look and feel the same because, you know, things can go against you in whatever style you approach. So I tend to follow a bit of a diversified approach. I mean, as an example, I've got a core South African equity fund investment. I've got a global value fund investment. I even have sort of country-specific fund investments like a China fund. I've even dabbled in some, you know, private equity funds. And one of my more recent investments was into a fund that Schroders manages, quite full disclosure. It's an energy transition fund. And it really speaks to this mega trend around sort of decarbonization and moving away from fossil fuels. So I quite enjoy doing that. There's a couple of drivers behind this, rate, if I'm honest. I mean, a good manager, someone who's considered a good manager, a top manager, gets something like 50 to 60% of their calls correct. And the payoff from those decisions is balanced. In other words, you want the decisions that are good decisions to pay off well, and the ones that are bad decisions, you want to close off those potential losses as early as possible. I'm not sure if you've seen Roger Federer did this commencement speech at one of the universities in the US. I think it was in June at Dartmouth University, where he referenced that in his career, and he played over 1,500 matches in his career, he had a near 80% win rate. But when you translate that into points, throughout that entire career, he won only 54% of those points. We're talking Roger Federer, right? So this is not the average guy at your tennis club. So this is a top guy. And in my view, it's exactly the same in investments. So that for me has driven the decision that I've made regarding my personal investment into direct shares. I'm no Roger Federer when it comes to managing money. So I have a rule that I only want exposure to, you know, direct equity companies that I choose of the money that I can afford to lose. So that's the other kind of principle I tend to live by.
I just want to go back. You said you spend a lot of time to analyze asset managers and then you pick the ones you like. And yeah, Obviously you would like to pick the best ones. How do you do that?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I mean, truth be told, probably I'd say well over 90% of my money is managed by Schroders Portfolio Managers, my company. So I eat our cooking. But for me, it's around, again, getting back to first principles. what is asset management? It's really about who has the information advantage, right? Who's able to identify companies that will perform better than what markets expect, and so the share prices adjust accordingly. So that, for me, I look for evidence of this information advantage. So, you know, what resources do they have available to them? What alternative sources of data do they use in coming up with an investment thesis? How long have they been around? How deep are the teams that, you know, are actually managing the money? Those type of things, for me, are super important, because no one is able to tell the future. However, if you've got certain data points that give you a view on the probability of someone being able to achieve a particular outcome, then, you know, you've taken a calculated risk in trusting your money to someone to manage your assets on your behalf.
Yeah, that is an excellent approach. But if you could go back to the Condi, the 21-year-old Condi, entering the job market, you know, seeing a lot of opportunities, obviously, you know, you're larger than life, but you haven't had experience in investments. What advice would you give yourself?
So, you know, it's really, really interesting. When, anecdotally, I remember, so, I mean, I turned 47 this year, right? I remember when I was, you know, a 12-year-old, 30 seemed a far distant concept, right? 30-year-olds were very, very old. And then you turn 47 and you realize that it's actually not that far. However, what I would advise young people is that time is your best friend. There's the old adage of it's time in the markets that matters, opposed to timing of the markets. I appreciate, Rick, that it's a bit of a cliche, but it's 100% true. So I would say you need to get started as early as possible. I think people tend to have a little bit of an analysis paralysis in terms of how must I get started, you know, where must I put my money, et cetera, et cetera. And that, you know, analysis leads to the paralysis of not making a decision. And before you know it, you're kind of wasting time. So what I would say is you want to get started investing as early as possible. And maybe an efficient way of doing that is to go the fund route and start, you know, just allocate some money either to a fund or an ETF or something like that, so that you get some exposure to how investments work. And then once you get comfortable, you can start, you know, doing other things, you know, as an example, buying your own shares. You know, you do a bit of an analysis on a particular share, you know, you get an online platform, you buy these things, and you see where you go. But I would say you need to get started as early as possible.
Your money in funds, 100%. Or you don't need to put all your money into individual shares. There can definitely be a blended approach. So now for the two big questions everybody waits for. First of all, what has been the best investment you have ever made? The one you believe has, you know, given you some stripes in the investment world?
Oh, that's a really good question. Again, as I said, you know, a lot of my investments are through funds, quite honestly. So a lot of it, I would probably err towards the fund investment. I think, you know, we run a private equity fund that's called a semi-liquid global private equity fund that we started back in 2019. And, you know, if you put R100 or $100 in there in 2019, you would be, you know, sort of $199 today. So you have nearly doubled your money in that 5-year period. You know, I got into that fund relatively early and, you know, I rode that performance kind of going up. So that's probably been one of my better investments that I've made. Unfortunately, it wasn't a fund and not necessarily a direct share investment, but that fund has done really, really well for my personal portfolio.
And the worst one? The one you don't want to talk about to your friends around a braai?
I made an investment into Capital and Counties some years ago, which was, again, Rick, I think you might be familiar with it. It's a UK property play.
A big property player, yes.
Correct. And when I got out very quietly and I didn't tell anyone that I even had a position in the company. So that one did hurt a bit.
Well, I think all of the UK-based property companies listed in South Africa went through a bad patch, and Capital and Counties was one of those. But Condi, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for sharing your insights, and good luck with Schroders. May it grow to become one of the big players here in South Africa.
I appreciate that, Rick. Thank you very much.
That was Condi Nkosi, the country head of Schroders in South Africa.
Show me the money.
That was the MoneyWeb Be a Better Investor podcast with Rake Van Niekerk. Thanks for listening. Catch up and listen to all the MoneyWeb podcasts on moneyweb.co.za or the app. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.